And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting or life eternal. Now that's a comforting passage in many ways. It is to every person that is a Christian, a follower of the Lord, because it tells us that God isn't going to forget and He isn't going to overlook any and every act that we bestow in behalf of others. In Galatians 6, 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Don't get tired, don't get bothered, don't get upset about well-doing. There will be times when things won't go as you want them to go. I love the 23rd Psalm. It's probably one of the most familiar and probably among the best loved scriptures in all of the Bible. In it you'll remember the psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." Now notice he said, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." I believe he was describing life. He wasn't just describing a relationship between sheep and a shepherd, though that was included. But he was talking about life. He was describing life. And he says, "Though I walk through the valleys," he was telling us that life has its valleys. Now, their mountain peak experience, there are times when all of us reach some high point in life and it seems that everything is just turning up roses. Everything is looking marvelous and good. And our spirits are so elevated and we're so excited. And we're thankful for the mountaintop experiences of life. We're thankful for those high points in life. They're wonderful and they're good. And I don't think we could get along without some of them. But one doesn't live on a mountain peak. Life has its mountain peaks. It has its exhilarating, uplifting experiences. It has its lofty moments, but it also has its valleys. And we need, when those valleys come, to walk through them. Not anything so bad about being depressed, getting down in the dumps, or being despondent, or whatever terminology you want to use. I guess the simplest thing and the easiest thing is just down in the dumps. It's not quite as high sounding as some other psychological terms that could be used, but nevertheless, that's really what it's all about. It's not so bad to get down in the dumps, to get despondent, depressed, or whatever, provided we don't stay there. We're not going to be on the mountain peak all the time. We're not going to be in the valley all the time, or at least we'd better not. Because if we do, then there's going to be some problems coming. That's what he was saying in verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Don't panic. Don't give up the shield because things don't really turn out instantaneously the way we'd like for them. Keep right on keeping on. When things get tough, then just keep right at it. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not give up when the hardships come. For in due season, in proper time, we shall reap if we faint not. And some translations translate that passage, if we do not lose heart. But we can understand the meaning in either way. If we faint not, if we do not lose heart, The idea, of course, came from the Greek language that meant a soldier, someone marching. Maybe the march is a long march, and the person gets tired and hot, and maybe falls out during the march, is not able to continue. Well, don't fall out, don't lose heart, don't give up in the march of life, just like the soldier must be disciplined enough that he's going to be able to stay on his guard and do his work without fainting at the slightest difficulty or provocation that may come his way. We shall reap if we faint not. And then our Lord said in Matthew 10:42, I say unto you, whosoever shall give a cup of cold water only in the name of the disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise, in no case, lose his reward. Our Lord said that the smallest, most minute thing that any Christian does, any servant of His does, obviously when He stated that in Matthew's Gospel, the church had not been established and Christians had not been called Christians until Antioch. But you understand what I mean. Followers of the Lord. Whoever gives a cup of cold water only, the name of a disciple shall not lose his reward. I think sometimes we get so victimized by bigness. We think if I can't do something astronomical, if I can't do something tremendous and great, I just won't do anything. And yet our Lord says that anything and everything we do, if it's what we can do, He wasn't indicating smallness or mediocrity. He wasn't saying that we should just gauge ourselves on a small scale and be content with that. He was saying that when we do the best we can do, if that's just a cup of cold water, then that's what we need to do. He complimented, of course, the widow who gave the two mites in Mark 12 and praised her to the heavens. Jesus did because she gave more than all the others. Not the amount wasn't more, but she gave all that she had. They gave of their substance. And she gave of her living. She gave all she had. So the smallness was not the factor. It represented totality. That's what the Lord's always saying and always asking of us, that it represents the totality of us. But in our sowing and in our reaping, the biblical truth is that we reap more than we sow. Now, there may be some varying experiences in the vegetable kingdom that may come to bear in this, but we can say, generally speaking, that a person reaps more than he sows. Our Lord said that little cup of cold water, it doesn't seem to represent a lot. But if it's an act upon the part of someone in behalf of some other person out of love and concern, then the Lord will reward amply and the Lord will reward sufficiently in His own way, in His own good time. Person reaps more than he sows. That's comforting to us as Christians when we think about the many little acts that we as Christians do that sometime we let ourselves get to thinking it doesn't really make any difference. It's not really that major. It's not that important. It seems to be so trivial. We keep in mind that the Lord teaches in His Word that the reaping is much more than the sowing. Jesus said in Mark 4:8, that some seed that had been sown brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Again in Matthew 19:29, our Lord said that whoever leaves father, mother, brother, sister, gives up houses and land for my sake and the gospel, shall receive 100-fold and everlasting life. Now remember that promise of our Lord. Whatever a person gives up for the service of the Lord, whatever that is, he shall receive 100-fold. I don't think I've ever heard anyone express it probably any better than the late beloved Brother Ira North on that verse, on that scripture. I've heard Brother North say, you know, the Lord promises us that what we do in His service, He's going to repay us 100-fold. Now, fold is 100. And that means Jesus said 100 times 100. And according to my mathematics, that's 10,000%. Now, that's a good return on investment, isn't it? You think about a return on something 10,000%. And that's what the Lord says He'll do. He'll give us a return that's an interest rate on whatever we deposit, invest in His service, 10,000%. No, if Wall Street or the financial institutions, the banking institutions got into that kind of thing, perish the thought, we'd be dead overnight as a nation, wouldn't we? We operate on the credit system, and our nation gets deeper in debt individually as well as a nation the longer we go. Works both ways. Not only our trillion plus dollar debt as a nation, but we owe as a people trillions of dollars. And if we had a percentage rate, anything close akin to that, we just couldn't make it, could we? That's what the Lord promises. 10,000%. I really cannot fathom that, frankly. I think percentages that are down 10, 11, 12, 13, and a few years ago we got up to 21%, I think, and we were really having troubles, and that's somewhat relieved now. But 10,000%, that's what the Lord promises as a return. Not only that, but even in addition to that, eternal life. That's what sowing and reaping is. Lord said the reaping's going to be 100-fold. In the here and the now, not just somewhere up ahead, but 100-fold. And in addition to that, eternal life. You know, the Lord blesses us so richly and so abundantly in the here and now while we live. What's a good day of health worth? I don't know any figure to put on it, do you? What's a day worth of being able to breathe? I've known a lot of folks who couldn't without being attached to oxygen. They couldn't get away from being connected to it. To be like we are, to go, come and go and do the things we want. What's that worth? I don't know any price tag on it, do you? What I'm simply saying is the Lord's going to grant the return. Now that return may not be something we deposit in the bank. Some of the greatest blessings in life you don't deposit in banks. And some people, if they had Fort Knox, I know it's been somewhat depleted to a great degree, but let me say to you, there's still a lot of gold there. And they still don't want you to get too close to it. It's still guarded quite heavily. There's that much there. There's still billions there. But if we had all of that gold that's in Fort Knox, and we didn't have a lot of other things, we wouldn't be able to enjoy it, or couldn't enjoy it, we'd be in a bad situation. Reaping. We reap more than we sow. And that's why I'm thankful that in God's arithmetic it's that way. Because that causes me to realize that there's so little that any of us can do. And we get ourselves sometimes so frustrated like
like Philip in John 6. You remember when Jesus faced that crowd and He wanted to minister to their needs. He wanted to provide food for them. And Philip said, "Lord, there's a little boy here with two fish, five barley loaves. What are they among so many?" What does that matter among this kind of need that exists? Sometimes we let ourselves get so upset because we look at the needs and we think, what's that among such a great, tremendous area that needs to be covered? And we feel so insecure and we feel so inadequate. But I'm thankful that in all of our inadequacies, in all of our situations, that if we follow the Lord, we know that He'll multiply, just like He did the fish and those loaves. He made it meet the needs of that large audience, 5,000 that day and 5,000 men. And He'll meet the needs that we face, whatever they are, when we offer ourselves up. And we say, "Lord, You're the potter and I'm the clay." The words of the song, "Mold me and make me after Your will, while I am yielded and while I'm still. While I'm pliable and receptive and responsive, You'll make me into the kind of person I need to be. Sowing and reaping, the Lord remembers even the smallest act and rewards it accordingly. He multiplies the sowing with a great, great amount of reaping. 100-fold. Many, many times over. And that's comforting. That's strengthening to all of us. It causes us to realize the mundane things of life that get to be that way to us, and the trivialities of life aren't really all that way either. Because in the hand of God, multiplied, they're increased over and over again. I think it's one of the comforting and precious and beautiful scriptures. Let's move back to verse 9 for a moment. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Oh, I know sometimes it's very difficult to go on. I read a few days ago in a paper where some football team out in Missouri, Gainesville, Missouri, I believe was the community, and they hadn't won a game in, I think it was 6 years or so. They had a losing streak that was somewhere in the 80s, I believe. And I thought how taxing that must be on those players. You know, it's a long time. Some of them had never won a victory from the time they were a freshman in high school to the time they graduated. They didn't know what victory was. And you just think about that poor coach or those poor coaches. I don't know. Everybody wants a winner. And I don't know how many coaches they've had, but I know that if there's not winning, it's always the coach's fault in the minds of the fans, regardless. Seems that's the psychological thinking of the makeup. But anyway, difficult it must have been for them. And it's not easy for us when we get weary about a whole lot of things. But let's not be weary in well-doing. Let's be true and faithful to God. And the Lord will give us the reaping time. He'll give us the victory, provided we do what He asks us to do. That is to be true and to be faithful to Him. The reaping is a lot more than the sowing. And I'm glad it is in the spiritual. I know it is in the vegetable kingdom. But I'm glad it is overly so in the spiritual kingdom. And with that, it should be a factor in all of us, motivating and encouraging all of us to do what we can do. You remember in Matthew 25, Jesus talked about the judgment scene. He said, I was hungry, cold, thirsty, naked, and in prison. You came to me. And those people said, now, Lord, when did we see you like this? We didn't see you hungry or thirsty or cold or naked or in prison. But our Lord said, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, you did it to me. Because you fed someone, because you clothed someone, He said, you did it to me. The only way we can really do anything for Jesus, or the basic way, is in doing something for those who are made in His image. We want to do something for Jesus, then do something for somebody tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. That's what the Lord said. Inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, you did it to me. Next Sunday, when we give in behalf of the starving people in Ethiopia, we'll be feeding Jesus. That's what the Lord said. It's just as much as if you were feeding Jesus, if you were meeting His physical needs, which of course, He's in heaven at the right hand of God, He doesn't have physical needs. But it's the same. That's what our Lord said. That's what these ladies are doing. That's their purpose, to feed someone here in just a few days. That's what the Lord was talking about. That's Christianity. That's what the Lord's talking about. And that's really down where it counts, down where it matters. Now, church going and church attendance is vital. It's important. But unless we're motivated to do these other things, we could live in the church building and still be lost. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. And then on the contrary, if we don't do to the least of these, Jesus said to the others on the other side, you didn't do it to me. It's really what it's all about. Sowing and reaping. Sowing the good seed, reaping the abundant harvest. If you're not a Christian tonight, you need to become one. To surrender your life to Jesus in obedience to His will, confessing His name, believing in Him with all of your heart, repenting of your sins, being baptized, and then living for the Lord.